Hey, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see so many. I'm going to be talking about our efforts to both track and prevent work. So I have no financial relationships to disclose. So today what I'm going to do is provide a very brief overview of our project. And then what I usually do is present our surveillance data and provide some examples of how that data have led us to take on various intervention activities in the state. I'm kind of reversing the order today. I'm going to keep you in suspense, and I'm going to really focus on what the intervention activities have been. And at the end, I'm going to present trends in our injury rates over time and really ask the question and kind of ask you the question whether or not we've made a difference. So, I am going backwards now. How is that happening? There. You know, I don't think I really need to convince anyone in this room or why we need to focus on young workers, but I always feel committed to saying a few words about this when I talk about young workers. First of all, 80% of teens are employed, and we know they have high injury rates compared to adults. But I think it's really important when we look at that figure is to remember that that's an overall figure for all industry combined. And we do not have, and it's in large part accounted for by the fact that teens work in jobs that are at higher than average risk for workers of all ages. They tend to work in restaurants, grocery stores, nursing homes, construction, agriculture. Those are higher than average risk jobs. There's no kind of bolus of kids working in the safer white collar jobs. So that is an overall, it's in large part accounted for by their concentration in higher risk jobs. There's very little research comparing teens and adults doing the same tasks. So it's really important to remember that. And that really leads me to my, to the next slide, which is, one of the pitfalls of targeting a group of workers on their basis of their personal characteristics for prevention is that we tend to focus on those characteristics. And I think it's really critical for all of us in the field to remember that kids are injured because there are job hazards. If there were no jobs hazards, teens wouldn't be injured. And that's really, it's really important to keep our eyes on the prize, and that's crucial. At the same time, there are a number of factors that we need to take into account. Inexperience is a risk factor for workers of all ages. We know that teens have inadequate training and supervision, which is even more important issue in light of inexperience. We know they're employed, and we'll be hearing more about that today. They continue to be employed in inappropriate and illegal jobs. And then there's the issue of developmental characteristics. And, you know, those are both physical characteristics and psychosocial. On the physical front, you have tasks. The kids are too small to do certain tasks, but you also have problems on the other end of the spectrum. Who do you ask to lift something heavy but a 17-year-old strapping football player? So, you know, you can have problems on both ends of the spectrum with return to size. And the psychosocial issues, I think, are really challenging. Typically, when I raise that, you know, what you hear is teens are risk takers. And you often talked of disparagingly as risk takers. You know, taking on new challenges is the developmental task of adolescents. And we interview teens day after day who are injured. And what we find, these are teens who are responsible. They're working. And we find that they're injured doing things that adults have asked them to do or adults have modeled for them. And I think the key developmental issue, if anything, is that this is their first foray into the adult world for many of them, and they need to prove themselves. And so it's really their hesitancy to speak up. It's often their enthusiasm and hesitancy to speak up. So I just need to kind of set my philosophical framework before I talk about our work in Massachusetts. So when we started this work in the early 1990s in Massachusetts, and I can remember the day that Sue Gallagher walked into my office. She's a colleague who does injury control research, and she was doing a study of pediatric injuries using emergency department data from 14 communities and towns. And she walked into my office, and she said to me, "Something's going on with teens." So, and there was literally, we found one published paper in the literature on teen fatalities. So we decided to take a look at the data. We had information on location of injury for about 50% of the population of 14 to 17-year-olds, and we found that 13% of the injuries occurred at work, and for the 17-year-olds, it was 26% of the injuries occurred at work. This just blew us away because this wasn't on anyone's agenda. So the next thing we did is we looked at our workers' compensation claims, and in Massachusetts, we only have information on lost wage claims, which are five or more lost workdays. And there were 700 five or more lost workday injury claims filed by teens each year. So we knew this was a problem. We happened to be at that time in the middle of amending our disease public health reporting requirements. So we sneaked work-related injuries to teenagers into the public health reporting requirements, so mandating hospitals to report work-related injuries to teens to the health department, which doesn't make them report, but it allows us to collect the data. And at that same year, we received funding from NIOSH to develop a model surveillance system using multiple data sources for case ascertainment. And the goals of, we call this our Teens at Work Project, or TAW, the goals of the project were several. First, we were interested in identifying specific sentinel cases to help target specific worksite interventions. We wanted to generate representative summary data that would inform kind of broader-based intervention activities, and then we were committed to using the data to promote prevention activities throughout the state. And here's just a very brief overview of kind of the system components. We get the workers' compensation claims data come into our office weekly. We have 9 emergency departments that are self-selected emergency departments that since the beginning have reported their cases to us on a monthly basis. And we, on a flow basis, get data from our state burn registry and our fatality surveillance system. The data comes into the office. It's triaged. We conduct interviews with teens. We do these both by telephone immediately if it's a serious injury. And we now use mailed surveys with telephone follow-up for other injuries. We contact parents first. We have to contact parents before we can talk to teens. We send teens information. With respect to employers, if we see that there's a violation of the child labor law or an OSHA standard, we do refer cases to the relevant enforcement agencies, and we have field investigator who can go out and do kind of non-enforcement investigations as well. We routinely summarize and analyze our data and use that to talk about, to inform prevention efforts. Now, this is a slide of kind of key timeline, timeline of our key surveillance reports and interventions. I just wanted, you know, disseminating surveillance findings is a critical component of a surveillance system. And so these stars are just to demonstrate that we have periodically and fairly regularly disseminated our data to the community. And we do this now annually in a newsletter. Very early on in the project, I'm looking at Robin Dewey because she was working with us at the time, we did develop extensive educational materials targeting teens, parents, employers, and healthcare providers. And we disseminate these, and we have since the beginning of the project. Last year, we disseminated over 10,000 materials on request in hard copy, and that's addition to our website. So we have an extensive materials and information dissemination activity. And then we have a number of specific interventions that we've worked on with our partners. And what I'm gonna do now is just go into some examples of how our data have been used to influence change in some specific work sites, how they've influenced some public policy, and have helped build the state infrastructure to protect youth at work. So the first example I want to talk about is one in which our data was used to promote an engineering solution to an identified hazard. In the late 90s, we identified high injury rates in teens working in retail bakeries, coffee shops. This was a new finding. People hadn't seen this before. We took a closer look. These were burns. You can see here 40% of the injuries were burns. We sent out our field investigator. She found a problem with the brew baskets on the coffee makers, that there'd be a slurry of coffee in the brew baskets, and in peak traffic hours, they'd pull the basket out and the slurry would pour over their hand and they'd be burned. And sometimes there was also clogging of the. So we joined with the Attorney General Office that enforces the child labor laws in Massachusetts and with OSHA that were involved in a compliance settlement, enforcement settlement. So we joined in that meeting and we presented these data to 400 franchise owners. And what's really critical is that the headquarters of this franchise industry were there as well. And 6 months later, they introduced a redesigned coffee maker, putting this shield on the brew basket. So I think what's interesting about that in terms of promoting change is that the headquarters prescribes the equipment, but it's not immune from tort liability like the employers are because they're covered by workers' comp. So headquarters, once you presented the data, and they're all lawyers sitting there, once you presented the data, they really had to do something. So that's one of our interventions. Now, many of our injuries occur in jobs that are perfectly legal under the child labor laws, and there's no specific health and safety OSHA standard addressing some of our ergonomic hazards, for example. But this was a case where a teen was operating a paper baler, which is against the child labor laws. We did refer this to the federal wage and hour enforcement, resulting in citations, and it also resulted in changes in training for supervisors throughout the industry, and this is a nationwide company. So that's I want to talk a little bit now about our work with vocational education. Massachusetts is a federal OSHA state, which means that our public schools are not covered by OSHA, and we have no state OSHA coverage for our public schools. We do have an agreement. The Teens at Work Project has an agreement with our Department of Education to do investigations of injuries that occur in vocational shops. This is an alert where a child lost three fingers using an unguarded table saw in a carpentry shop. The guard was in the closet. As a result of this and our collaborations, that the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education requires schools to be in compliance with OSHA standards and actually has an inspector from our labor department do investigations of schools as part of their school recertification process. We also now, we have an OSHA alliance, and we do OSHA 10 training for vocational students. They get their OSHA 10 cards as part of their vocational training. Occupational health and safety training is required for vocational education teachers in their own license renewal. And we've also identified in our work-based learning plans and our vocational frameworks that occupational health is considered a foundation skill. It's not a tack on, it's considered in all our work-based learning programs, it's considered an integral component of job skill development. So that's kind of exciting work in our vocational education. We've worked with many people in this room to develop curricula for use in both for in vocational and other settings. This is just an example of that curricula. Kind of, I think, our biggest kind of policy change, or perhaps most significant changes in the public policy arena, and that is that our data were used to influence changes in the state child labor laws, which had not been changed since 1930. That campaign was spearheaded by a group of teen peer leaders. In the late 90s, our Kosh group identified young workers as a priority, which was really terrific because it had been an orphan issue. Adolescent advocacy groups didn't focus on work, and the occupational advocacy groups didn't focus on teens. So the fact that the Kosh group really took up teens as a cause, I think, was significant. They spearheaded this campaign. The teens were in the state house, and this legislation was passed on December 31st in 2006. And here are the teens who spearheaded that campaign with the co-sponsors of the legislation. What was critical about that legislation is prior to this, it had been enforceable only through criminal enforcement proceedings, which basically meant that it was unenforceable. And so the new law allowed for civil enforcement of the of violations like OSHA has. So you can issue citations. It also calls for a revised work permit process. Teens, parents used to sign off on a card. They now sign off on a form that has the child labor laws, and it says that they've read them. The employers do so as well. So there was one little tiny brochure on the child labor laws when we started this, and now it's really integrated into the work permit process, that information. Subsequent to this law, we had a public information campaign, which is again, this was spearheaded by our Attorney General's office. We had PSAs, we had signs in buses and subways. What was interesting about this is they combined information about health and safety rights with information about wage rights, which I think really attracted some of the teens to look at this information. So kind of empowerment message, rather not what you can't do, but what you can do and what your rights are. And that's been a theme, I think I attribute this to Robin, that empowerment messages have really been kind of an underlying theme in all our outreach work. Next, I want to talk briefly about what I talk about, building the state infrastructure for health and safety of teens in Massachusetts. And what I mean by this is kind of trying to leverage additional resources and institutionalize change so it lives beyond this project that we compete for NIOSH funding for every 5 years. And one of our successes was in the area of youth violence. When you interview working teens about issues that are of concern to them, violence is often high on their list. And this issue was really brought home to us in Massachusetts when we had an 18-year-old boy who was killed chasing a shoplifter who had stolen an 80-cent tube of toothpaste. It was just awful. So our staff sat on the Youth Violence Coalition strategic planning effort in Massachusetts. And this was a government community partnership develop a strategic plan for youth violence in the state of Massachusetts. And we were successful in getting workplace violence into the state violence prevention plan. And what that meant is that youth violence prevention monies became eligible for communities and for the CASH group that was interested in addressing workplace violence. So we've since, for the last 4 years, we've had youth violence money that has supported a teen peer leadership academy run by our CASH group that bring teens together from throughout the state for a three-day leadership academy modeled after the work in California, and then they go back to their communities and they implement projects that they plan during the course of the academy. So that's really been exciting, engaged a lot of teens in this effort. This year we had 40 teens, and I think we'll have more next year. We do have, again, this comes out of collaboration with other states, this model. We have created a very functioning and successful youth employment safety team, which brings together all the federal and state agencies, and you can see them listed here, I won't list them off, that have some responsibility for workplace health and safety and youth employment in the state. And in the Department of Labor, that includes both OSHA and the Wage and Hour Division. We meet quarterly to coordinate efforts and plan joint activities, and I'll just show you what we did in 2010. Kind of a big, new, exciting initiative for us is that workforce development is at the table, and in their funding announcements for summer job program funds this year to the workforce investment boards and community organizations, they included requirements that they had to take steps to provide health and safety training to any children who are funded by the workforce development funds. We think this is really significant. It should apply across all ages, but we have a foot in the door with teens in Massachusetts. We had a statewide conference in May with over 200 people. The theme of it was health and safety as an employability skill for youth, and it brought together people from workforce development, vocational education, and school to career. It was a pretty exciting first for us. And we're now in the process of working with our partners in developing guidelines for those who placed children in jobs, whether it's workforce development or their cooperative placement in vocational education, for how they can do some basic assessment and say as part of the placement process. It's a challenging task, but we're working really hand in hand. We have a manual that's being piloted. Oh no, okay. You've got our injury rates. We don't have injury rates based on emergency department data because we don't have representative data over time. We have injury rates based on our workers' compensation claims, which are the more serious injuries for 15 to 17-year-olds, and we also computed them for adults. We use the current population survey as our denominator, and we use Poisson regression and chi-square techniques to look at significance in our trends. So this is what you can see. We've had a significant decline in workers' compensation claims filed for both teens and adults over time. Now, we all know there's problems with this data, problems with injury reporting, and the extent to which the decline is due to changes in underlying incidents or changes in the comp system and injury reporting is not clear, and likely all those things come into play. I think what's really notable, and what I want you to take home here, is the rate of change is much greater for teens than for adults. Overall, we've had a 61% decline in workers' compensation claims filed by teens during this time period, compared to a 37% decline for adults. So, have we made a difference? The first question we have to ask is there something going on with teens and workers' compensation? Are they more likely than adults over time to be filing less? We think this is really unlikely because every single of our teen brochures and all our teen outreach has included information about workers' compensation. So if anything, we think there should be increased filing claims by teens rather than decrease over time. Another factor, I'm trying to think what can explain these differences. We do have full health insurance in Massachusetts. Full health insurance for children has been in place since the mid-80s, but there has been a steady increase over time. So it's possible that the availability of access to general health insurance has somehow influenced claim filing behavior. So I looked at the data, and it's gone from 90% in 1994 to 97%. So there's some increase, but really unlikely, it seems to me, to account for the declining rates. So I put on this limb here because I'm going to go out on a limb and say that we do think our surveillance and intervention activities have made a difference. It's impossible, the challenge for all of us, to draw the causal link. You know, it's virtually impossible to say any specific activity has led to this. And needless to say, we've looked at our rates every way from Sunday, but they all show the same thing. So anyway, I wonder what you think. So maybe during the discussion session, we can have a chance to talk about it. Thank you very much, and thanks to all of you who've helped in this work.